I don't want to be seen as trying to be radical chic, posturing and posing. I don't want to be seen as irresponsible. I'm 68, I will be 68 years old. I'm an old man. I'm too old to be playing games of a child trying to show how radical he or she is. Nonetheless, I'm an old man who nonetheless is faithful to certain basic moral principles which were imparted to me from my parents. So, having said that, I do want to respond to the Bernie Sanders, the Haggai El-Ads, the Omar Shakers, people who I respect. I respect them a great deal. I'm deeply moved by their willingness to finally face what's happening and to respond in, I think, a really impressive way to the way Israel is carrying on. So, whenever I hear this question of does Israel have a right to defend itself, I find the question so perplexing, so positively weird, that question. In 2003, Baruch Kimmerling, who was a senior sociologist at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem, he wrote a book called Politicide. It was about the tenure of Ariel Sharon as Prime Minister of Israel. And at some point in the book, he turns to the question of Gaza, and he writes that Gaza is, quote, the largest concentration camp ever. The largest concentration camp ever. Now, it's not just a phrase that he chose. Remember, it's an Israeli Jew for whom concentration camp has resonance. Remember that he was a senior member of the Hebrew University Sociology Department, probably the most respected sociologist at the Hebrew University. For our purposes, the real point is that was 2003. That was before Israel imposed that brutal, inhuman, illegal blockade of Gaza. The blockade didn't come until 2006, when the people of Gaza exercised their democratic right in an election, but they elected, from the point of view of the U.S. and Israel, the wrong party to power. And so they had to be punished.
Hillary Clinton even said that we shouldn't have let the Palestinians vote.
Right. Exactly. And that's when the blockade in its current incarnation began, with that election in January 2006, the election that Jimmy Carter called a fully fair and free election. So, to make the story short, Baruch Kimmerling was calling Gaza the largest concentration camp ever, when Gaza was a pale comparison when it comes to misery, a pale comparison to what it became after 2006, and what it's been for the last 15 years. Now, what is Gaza? We know its size. A marathon by two Central Parks. We know its demography. It's a majority children under the age of 18. We know its history. 70% are refugees who already lost their homes in Israel, what became Israel, and they went from losing their homes to being confined, trapped in a concentration camp. You say, why don't they use nonviolent means to free themselves? Well, that's what they did in 2018 during the Great March of Return. They engaged in overwhelmingly nonviolent civil resistance to try to end the siege of Gaza. What happened? As the whole world averted its gaze premeditatedly, Israel situated snipers along the periphery, and they targeted children, medics, journalists, disabled people. So, you ask the question. The question is always put, doesn't Israel have the right to defend itself? I put the question differently. I pose it as a different rhetorical question. My rhetorical question to Bernie Sanders, for whom I have the highest regard, not least because he attended my high school, for whom I have the highest regard, for Omar Shaker, for whom I have the highest regard plus, because he's been really outstanding the past week, for Haggai El-Ad, for whom I have the highest regard plus, plus, because I'm saying these things from my apartment in Ocean Parkway in Brooklyn. Now, admittedly, it's an all-Jewish neighborhood and a lot of crazy Russians here, but still, it's Ocean Parkway, Brooklyn. He's saying it from Israel. So in terms of physical courage, we're in different leagues. I acknowledge that. But I say to all of them, you all use the rhetorical question, doesn't Israel have the right to self-defense? I ask you this question, do concentration camp guards have the right to self-defense? That to me is a very perplexing question, because the answer is just perfectly obvious. Do concentration camp guards have the right to self-defense? If you read the new Human Rights Watch report, it says that Israel is committing, as we speak, it's committing crimes against humanity in Gaza. Now, what does that mean? It means the forcible eviction of Palestinians from their homes in 1948, the denial of them of the right to return to their homes, that's a crime against humanity under international law. That's level one. Level two, on top of that crime against humanity, the very same people who were evicted, the very same people who were victims of a crime against humanity, which in international law ranks higher than a war crime. As Human Rights Watch says, meaning crimes against humanity, are, quote, among the most odious crimes in international law, among the most odious. So 70% of the population of Gaza or their descendants have suffered a crime against humanity, their eviction from their homes, the forcible eviction of them from their homes. Then they are confined to this space the size of one marathon by two central parks. They are confined to this space, denied freedom of movement to leave and to re-enter Gaza. According to Human Rights Watch, that too is a crime against humanity. That's a second crime on top of the first crime. And then the same people who suffered the first crime against humanity, the second crime against humanity, and then on top of that, every few years, Israel goes in to mow the lawn in Gaza. It's massacres. It calls them mowing the lawn. Operation CAS led 2008-9, Operation Pillar of Defense 2012, Operation Protective Edge 2014, and now a new operation in Gaza. A third crime against humanity. A third crime against humanity. And then you ask the question, does Israel have the right to defend itself? That question means, as I understand it, having read the Human Rights Watch reports, having read the Human Rights Watch reports, having read the Beth Selim reports, having read all the Human Rights reports, that question means to me, does Israel have the right to commit crimes against humanity? Now look, Aaron, I'm not being rhetorical. You see, here's the problem. I take seriously what the Human Rights Watch reports say. I take them seriously. According to Human Rights Watch, the Palestinian refugees have the right of return. I'm not making that argument. I'm not making that argument. It's Human Rights Watch that made the argument. And so, if that's factually true, which is what Human Rights Watch says,
and then, so does the United Nations. There's a General Assembly resolution.
I'm taking, you know, mainstream centrist American organization, Human Rights Watch. So I say if that's true, then the Palestinian refugees, of which 70% of the Gaza population consists of, they've been suffering a crime against humanity for 73 years. That's what I understand the report to be saying. And then they've been suffering, they say, the lack of freedom of movement in Gaza, you know, the inability to go in and go out, and the denial of allowing goods to go in and go out, that too is a crime against humanity. They've suffered that for 15 years, since 2006. And now, to me, the question becomes, and honestly, I would like to ask Bernie Sanders, I would like to ask Omar Shaker, who I like, I would like to ask Haggai Elad, for whom I have the highest regard, second to none. I would like to ask them, do you think Israel has the right to commit crimes against humanity? If it does not have that right, then the people of Gaza have the right to use whatever means are at their disposal to free themselves from that concentration camp. They have every right, not just to free them, but to free their children, those 1 million children, from that concentration camp in Gaza. I can't see another argument. I would be totally, I hate to play the Holocaust card. I hate to play the Holocaust card. But I would be betraying everything I learned from my parents if I said concentration camp guards had the right to self-defense. I swear my mother would smack me in the face. What are you talking about? These are children. A right to self-defense? You have the right to confine children to a concentration camp? Listen to those words. You have the right to trap children in a concentration camp? That's what you're saying when you say Israel has the right to self-defense. That's concretely what it means. Israel is defending its right to maintain that blockade of Gaza. That's what it's doing. It's defending its right to maintain that blockade of Gaza. Can any sane person believe that Israel has the right to trap 1 million children in a concentration camp? I think that's crazy. I think it's insane.